Good morning, church. What a powerful reminder. The songs that we sang, the last song reminded us to be still and to know that God is in control of everything. We worship a God who is so wonderful, a God who is so sovereign. We are living in an unprecedented time. No one really knew that this pandemic would bring worldwide disruptions. Its effects have been felt in numerous nations, healthcare institutions, communities, even families have been affected, personal lives, and also how we relate to one another. You know, when we read God's word, unprecedented times are not new to God's people. We see numerous examples in God's word where people who loved God lived through unprecedented times in their life. But at the end of the day, they became strong in their faith, much more rooted in their love for God. They were overcomers. And so today we want to learn some lessons about perseverance, about praying to God, about seeking God in these difficult and challenging times of our life. Today I've taken Psalm 13, a very powerful prayer of David in the presence of God. When you read Psalm 13, it's a reminder of his life where he was going through an experience of darkness. He was going through a valley of fear and struggles. Here you see his plea, his prayer in the sight of God. And the end of the day, he realized, you know, David was just singing praises to God. And I would encourage you to read this psalm together as a prayer. Let it be our prayer for our community, for our nations, for our lives, for our missionaries, for our neighbors, or even for our friends. As we read this prayer, let it be our prayer to God. Let's ask God to intervene because we need God's intervention in our lives. Let's read Psalm 13 together. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, because your word is so powerful. As David prayed, O God, we also want to echo the prayer. Lord, hear our prayer, O God. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you were reading Psalm 13, I believe many of you would have felt David's need. When you were reading, you felt as if David was on a mountaintop, just all alone, just wanting God's help, as if he was in a tight corner, just desperate for God's intervention in his life. I believe many of us have gone through desperate moments in our lives. When we go through desperate moments, we tend to blame ourselves. And many times we feel disconnected with the rest of the world. And mostly we look at ourselves, right? We look at ourselves and say, you know, did I do the right thing? Am I doing what is expected from me? We feel horrible. Slowly but surely, pessimistic thoughts, right, invade our minds. It begins to affect our emotional, psychological, and also physical well-being. In Psalm 13, you know, in spite of David's repeated prayers, he realized, you know, God had been so silent to his plea. There's no indication, you know, of sin in this particular psalm. You see David's fear, frustration, anxiety in the sight of God. I trust many of us would have gone through some difficult moments in our lives. We would have felt neglected by God, or forgotten by God, or maybe we feel that God has been so far away in our lives. What can we learn from this particular psalm? How can we move from a plea? How can we move from a time of pain to a time of rejoicing? Psalm 13 is very instructive and it's helpful for us. Some lessons that we learn from this particular psalm. Firstly, when you look at the psalm, in psalm, you realize that we are not alone. Dear friends, we are not alone. David wasn't the only one in scripture who went through unprecedented time in his life. If you read scriptures, you know, very carefully, you realize, you know, Moses had his share. Job had his problems too. Isaiah, Paul was tortured. And we also read the life of the early Christians. They went through a lot of difficult moments in their life. And we also see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Our Lord and our Savior, who went through difficult moments for you and me, my friend. When you read Job 30, verse 20, you know, this is what Job is saying. Job says, I cried to you for help. He's speaking to God and he says, and you do not answer me. I stand and you only look at me. Jeremiah in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 20 onwards, you know, when he felt how with the way God was dealing with the Jewish people in the time of captivity, you know, Jeremiah says, Lord, why do you forget me forever and forsake us for so long time? Turn us back to you, O Lord. He's saying, Lord, turn us back to you. And when you look at this particular psalm again, you realize this is what David is saying. Not only we are alone. In verse 3, he says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. He says, look on me and answer, Lord. In other versions, you will see the word consider or with the word hear. You know, David is using two imperatives here. He's very firm in the sight of God. He's very firm in his plea, in his prayer. He says, look, Lord, look at me. Lord, I need your answer. He wants God to be mindful of all the things that's happening to him. He just don't want to settle with just a look from God. He wants God to intervene in his life. He wants to see God's grace. He wants to see God's salvation. He wants to enjoy or rejoice in God as his strength. In verse, let's look at the passage together. Chapter 13, verse 1, he says, how long will you forget me? Four times he uses the word how long. You know, the Hebrew word, it means until when, right? Until when, Lord? Seems that it's as if the end is not coming. The darkness is becoming much more darker and deeper. There is no prospect of deliverance. Until when? And in verse 1, he also repeats the words again. He says, how long will you hide your face? You know, he feels that God is hiding, that God's favor is not upon him when he needed most. A God that he loves so much. In verse 2, he says, how long have sorrow in my heart? You know, the sorrow has gone deep into his heart. It has gone so deep, it has actually affected David a lot. And in verse 2, he ends by saying, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Oh Lord, I need your help. You realize the feeling of pain and abandonment is very real in the life of David. He's wrestling both internally and externally. When you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, you know, these are the words of Christ. He said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And on the cross, right, we're very familiar with the words. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Dear friends, We thank God for the word that God has given to us, that we can be honest in the sight of God. We are not alone in this journey. We can be transparent and just coming before Him with a sincere heart. One of the things I begin to see in this particular passage, you know, when you look at the life of David, you know, important thing is don't stay there too long. In other words, many a times we dwell with our difficulties, our fears, our anxieties. Don't stay there too long. In Psalm 13, David is giving us some things that you and I should be found doing. He proclaims his trust in the sight of God. Though the situations around him did not change, it remained the same. But God was working in the life of David. You know, when you look at this passage, you might ask yourself, you know, is God silent? Why is God so absent? It might seem like that, but when you look at scriptures, this is not God's character. God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent, is able. He's able and he's in control of everything that you and I are experiencing. And that's why in Psalm 139, you know, David, the same David is saying in verse 5, he says, he looks at God, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. When he talks about that God was aware of his life, he says, Lord, such knowledge is too wonderful, O God, too great for me to understand. The first four verses were filled with confusion, frustration, and fear. As we mentioned earlier, you know, there's a transition, right? Very astonishing kind of a transition that takes place. From a plea, he comes to praise God. Let's look at the last two verses. And it says, but I trust in your unfailing love. You know, David starts by using the word but. A very interesting word, if you look at the text very carefully, it's a decision that David has made, a choice in terms of his perspective. Even though the situation around him remained the same, but he is saying, I'm going to change, I'm going to look at God, I'm going to be reminded of God's faithfulness, God's love to me in the past. And so when you look at verses 5 and 6, you know, one thing that comes very clear to us, even when you are alone, you are not alone. Even when you are alone, David is saying, you are not alone because God is present. How wonderful. Firstly, he says in verse 5, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. I have trusted in your steadfast love, unfailing love, he says. You know, in other words, David is saying, no, I'm trusting in God's love. I'm not worried about this winning enemy. He refused to be worried about this winning enemy. He's just reminded of God's covenantal love. The word used here in the Hebrew text is hesed. In other words, loyalty, faithfulness of God. David is reminded of 2 Samuel, where God has made a covenant with David, promising that his offspring will be forever king for the entire world. And so God is a covenant-making God, a God who's faithful in his covenant. And, you know, and so David is saying, you know, I trust in God's love. God loves. And today, you know, we need to be reminded of God's love for us, my friend. God loves us so much that we are so special in the sight of God. That's why Isaiah 49 verse 13, when you read the beautiful words of Isaiah, he's just reminded of God's love. He says in Isaiah 49, 15, he says, can a woman forget a nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of a womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. It's rare. I think all of us know it's rare for a human mother to abandon their newborn baby. But it is possible to happen in these days too. But it's not possible, according to God's word, that for God to forget us or to fail us. God loves each and every one of us, my friend. And secondly, when you look at the verse, the remaining part of verse 5, he says, my heart rejoices in your salvation. He says, my heart rejoices in your salvation. You know, that word talks about his wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was having a relationship with God. David says, you know, I've experienced God's grace, God's salvation in my life. There were numerous times in my life that God has saved me. And I've experienced God's saving presence in my life. And so this time round, God will save me. And I know He's sovereign. And as David is talking about salvation, I think you and I are reminded of our salvation. The salvation that we have received, a free gift that God has given to each and every one of us. We have been saved from our sins. We have been forgiven by the atoning death of Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, my friend, today we can have a right relationship with God. We can have peace with God and also with others. Lastly, David says in verse 6, he says, I will sing the Lord's praise. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me. Notice here, you know, David is speaking in a past tense. He says, God has been good to me. He's been so wonderful in my life. Yes, I believe, you know, many times when we look at our lives, there were times we went through difficult moments, but God has healed us. There were times that we were just lamenting to God for all our needs. God has brought joy into our life. There were times we failed Him in the past, but God has redeemed us. We have sinned in the past, and God has forgiven us. There were times we were needy, and God has been wonderful in providing us. And that's why, you know, Job says in 13, Job 13 verse 15, when he remembers God, he says, though He slay me, though the Lord may slay me, yet will I hope in Him. I will surely defend my ways to His face. And in 2 Chronicles, when you read chapter 6, verse 14, you know, the word says, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like You. There is no God like You. The passage reminds us, you know, David's walk with God, with faith, in faith and confidence. Because he knew for sure God's steadfast love is sure. God loves us so much, my friend. I think we need to take comfort in those words of God. God has never failed us in the past. When we love Him, when we live a life for Him, God's presence is always felt in our lives. Let me conclude by sharing a real story that took place a few months back during the time of the Advent season, during the time of Christmas. My nephew was staying with us for a few weeks with us. A small, great guy. He came with his family. And one day he said, you know, he wanted to get a small mailbox. So we were asking ourselves, what? He wants a mailbox? He wanted a mailbox. So, and he managed to, you know, get his parents to get a mailbox for him. And my nephew, what he did, he took the mailbox, he placed it in the living room. Right? It was so visible that every one of us are able to see. And being a very early riser, he will get up right from the bed, just excited. He runs. He literally runs to the mailbox to see, you know, is there something for him in the mailbox? He's so excited. So my family, what we did, we wrote, you know, some notes of encouragement to him, and just reminded him, you know, how good, you know, he is. So every time he sees a note or notes, he reads, you know, his face will glow. There's joy. It makes his day. You know, when I was just remembering this, and you know, I was just reminded, you know, if you and I can also do likewise. Have a well-placed jar in our living room, in a place which is so visible. Invite your kids to participate and start writing. Maybe small notes of what God has done in your life. Every day when you come back, just write, you know, if you've experienced God's healing that day, or God's provision, God's help in your workplace, you know, wherever you are. I believe God has blessed us tremendously. Just write and put it inside. But when you are feeling bad, when your days are not good, I would encourage you, go back to the jar, start reading the notes. It will surprise you what God has done in the past. And this God is a faithful God. And that's what David is saying. This God is faithful, and so I rejoice. And so, my friend, let me encourage you today. Let me encourage you by drawing strength from God and to know that God is in control of everything. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer and seek the presence of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word is so powerful and so living, O God. It refreshes our heart. And today, God, we come before you. Lord, you know. You know us, O God, by name. As the psalmist has written, even the words be unable to pronounce, even before we can say the word of God, you're a God who's fully aware of our needs, of our pain, our struggles. Today, God, we want to echo, together with many brothers and sisters in the world, of God, for nations who are suffering, for communities who have been affected, for healthcare institutions, for people, of God, been involved in saving lives, Father. We also want to give ourselves to you in total submission, O God. Lord, we pray, help us to see your grace. Help us to experience your favor. Help us to know, Lord, that you are in control. We thank you once again. And we love you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray.